No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. How do I say it? Inez X?
Inez.
Inez X.
Ooh,
okay.
It sounds interesting in here. What's going on? You got a bunch of reverb and shit.
Reverb?
Do you fuck with it?
Do we?
Sounds good.
It sounds good?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, that's good to know.
Sounds good. Is it crazy? Do I look funny with this?
No, you look fine. Okay. Although, yeah, a lot of times girls are worried about their hair or whatever.
Yeah,
they
all
put the headphones on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even dudes come in with just weird ass haircuts and they're just
facts.
All about preserving it, you know?
Facts. I mean, in the studio, I don't give a fuck. I'm just like, whatever. But now that it's like, mm-hmm.
Well, okay. See, that there's an interesting question because a lot of dudes, rappers that I know, they go in the studio where nobody can see them and then they put on like $1,000 shoes and they got $3,000 pants and
right,
they just wear
right.
this crazy
like,
designer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
maybe you see it a little bit on the gram, but you don't see too much of it. Like,
no, I mean, it is. It's all about the fucking gram because if not, even for me, like, I just want to look like shit in the studio. I don't want to care. You know?
You're not in full glam in the studio?
Most of the time, no. Because I just want to, like, zone out. You know what I mean? Mm. But then it's like, if I'm getting photos out there, or if I know I'm getting video, I got to look good and shit. Like, even today, I was like, can I just wear sweatpants? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, damn, we're recording it. Fuck.
But that's real, though. People have different, like, sometimes girls will come in with no makeup on and, like, sweatpants and shit. And then they realize, like, oh it's a video podcast, not audio. And they're like, oh. I've had girls, like, basically cancel it the day of, like, porn star chicks who just, for some reason, didn't realize that they were going to be on camera.
Yeah. See, if I didn't know, like, I'm a fan. I watch the shit. But
okay,
if I
cool.
didn't, then I'd be like, I wouldn't have known. I'd be like, oh, it's a radio interview. We're fine. So I'm getting this is back when I get here.
But these days, everything's pretty much video. Or
yeah,
at least
period.
You're taking photos to go with the audio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's interesting, though, because it's like a lot of these rappers, though, I feel like they don't feel like they can really get into the mind state of making the drippiest, sauciest music
why?
Unless
Let's
they're
get into
in their
it.
Full
why?
Outfit.
Because they're capping.
Ooh,
most of the time.
Okay.
Most of the time it's full cap. So it's just like, oh yeah, let me just cap to wear all my designer shit, but it's like I'm gonna return it tomorrow. Please, everyone needs to stop capping.
Wear every single chain even when you're in the house.
Yeah, literally. Mm. But in the reality of it is it's just like, you know, if they're really going to just fucking create, you don't need to do all that shit. You
That's
know what
real.
I mean? Like, you really don't. Like, you know, but if you want to, like, flex on the gram, which most of the time they do, but I bet you anything, if you catch them at, like, 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., they look fucking crazy, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of the thing is to buy the crazy expensive drip and then just wear it and, like, get it dirty, get Cheeto stains on the Gucci and just fucking rock it and then throw it away.
Right.
Which is so stupid, but that's kind of, like, the ideal that they're going towards because rappers always talk about only wearing shoes once in their songs now.
Yeah.
That's such a weird thing
that's
to brag about.
That's such a girly thing to do, you know?
Yeah, and dude, like, that's why when
that's
old
a bitch thing to do.
When old school rappers are like, all these new rappers act like bitches, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, I get it. I get what you're saying for
I get it for sure. I mean, like, there's some girls that are wearing, like, baggier shit than guys nowadays. Mm. You know, it's like, it's almost like the fucking roles are reversed almost sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, I see, like, a girl, mad swag, baggy shit, then a guy with, like, tight ass, you know? And I'm like, all right.
I tell my girlfriend that too because she thinks that she needs to wear some crazy ass raver thought outfit when we go to fucking festivals and shit. And I like one time she was like really upset because she didn't have time to get her makeup professionally done before going to fucking Rolling Loud or
what
something.
Is she Middle Eastern?
She's Armenian.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Middle Eastern. We're always doing the most. It's just like it's like the thing. It's always just doing. We just always feel like, oh, I got a full glam.
You
got
to go hard.
But nowadays it's so true. Like it's fine. You can wear. Of anything, like
that's
literally,
what I told her. I'm
and
like,
swagged out.
I'm like, wear leggings and some fucking boots and like a sweater, and you could like fucking wear a hat, or you can just like put your hair up.
Right.
You're gonna look fine. Everybody there is like not gonna judge you as if you're not doing
exactly.
Enough.
Or you know what I peep lately? It's like if I wear like fly ass sneakers, like I get so many more compliments than if I wear heels.
Yes.
Like it's crazy. Like I literally just got like these like ones and they're like really cool colors and shit. And everyone's like, whoa, like those are sick. Everyone.
Right.
And like when I wear heels, it doesn't matter. Like fucking whatever. They don't care. Like, oh, cool.
You could wear a super basic outfit, but if your sneakers are really,
are
really dope.
Are fly? It's facts. Mm. Even as a girl, it's like, oh, okay.
But how miserable are high heels, honestly?
Honestly, it's just like right now, I personally, I'm short. So I've always like been like, you know,
how tall?
I'm fun size actually, but 5'2".
Okay. My girlfriend also 5'2".
Yeah. That's the thing, you know, fun size. So it's like, we always want to wear heels because being short, like I'm always looking up, you know, and there's a sort of fucking little, like, what's the word? Like you kind of feel a little lesser than sometimes.
Next to some chick who's 5'9" and it's just towering over.
Yeah, you know. It's annoying. So I'll always wear heels. But lately I've just been on this like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, I don't want my feet to look ugly anymore. Like, I want, you know what I mean? We wear heels. It fucks up your feet. Like, you get all these weird bunions. You know what I mean? Like, all these, I got to get pedicures and like tell them like, shave these bunions down. These fucking heels are killing me. You know?
A lot of times when you're going out, you're basically committing to standing up for like 3, 4, 5 hours.
Let me tell you right now.
In those things?
When I fucking go out, like, I'm out for an hour, 2 hours, and then I'm like, get my money, I'm out.
Really?
I don't give a fuck.
That's the attitude?
Yeah, because it's just like, it hurts. It's painful. It really is. Yeah. It really is. Like, you're standing in the heels, you know, like, you can't do shit about it. You know, you're not going to take your heels off and look crazy. So it's like...
Man, I feel for you. You got like the crazy ass long nails though. So don't try to act like you're low maintenance.
I know. Definitely not.
You have like all
probably
kinds of
high maintenance
jewels encrusted in those too and everything. Like every nail has a different pattern on it. Holy shit.
Shout out my nail girl. She's the best.
How much does that cost, honestly?
Honestly, she cooks me the fuck up. Like these are not expensive, but
really?
but they look expensive.
They do.
But she's my girl. She's Armenian as well. She's my girl. And she has my birthday. So she's the shit. Christina. Shout out Christina. She's the shit.
So where'd you grow up in Brooklyn?
I grew up in Sunset Park.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was lit. But then I moved to Connecticut as a teenager and it was like the worst.
What, your family started getting money so you moved to Connecticut?
Yeah.
Wow.
Much.
What were your parents doing?
I mean, my mom started her own business. Like, I come from like a super strong, independent woman.
Uh-huh.
My stepdad was always fucking shit up, you know?
Was he a criminal?
Goes. No, he was just like, you know, it's like Middle Eastern men are super like,
right.
You know? And it's like this. He was just not a good guy, you know?
Mm.
And finally, thank God, she's not with him anymore, thank God.
But he found a good woman to sort of mooch off of?
Yeah, pretty much. And then, like, now that they're not together, finally, he doesn't know how to survive. Like,
really?
You know? Yeah, like, it's that. Because it's like, the women are supposed to, like, do everything and shit, you know? And normally, the men are the breadwinner. But in my mom's situation, she was the boss. She just started her own business in the medical field and just went crazy.
Do you see that strain in yourself as well that you might be like a boss bitch who's just got like a fucking safari dragging you down?
I mean, I literally
safari, I'm sure.
No,
it's a great
like
guy.
Literally I fucking have been in so like every situation I've been in has been that, and I feel like finally it's like breaking that, you know what I mean? Like breaking that whole cycle.
Right.
You know, because I'm very like dominant and very like aggressive woman, but then it's like I want to be taken care of by my man, you know what I mean, and I want him to be equal to me or even higher, you know what I mean, like I look up to you, you know, rather than fucking me taking care of my, you know, that's pathetic.
You date rappers and ball players and shit?
I mean, in the beginning of my career, I've definitely made like a lot of stupid fucking decisions, you know what I mean, and like now I'm just like not
really.
Yeah, I mean, like in the beginning of my career, like I was signed to the same label as Fetty Wap.
Yeah.
So like, like, you know, I was dating someone. I was in a relationship and everything, you know, during
within
that time.
Within the 1738 crew?
Kind of. Not really. Kind of.
Okay.
And then it was kind of a situation where when
Hey,
I was
Boogie?
On tour.
6ix9ine?
No, but when I was on tour, listen to the story. So when I was on tour, hold on, let me fix my fucking headphones because they're falling off.
You don't have to wear them if you don't want it, by the way.
I know. Am I? Can I not? I kind of like listening to us, though.
It's cool, though, right?
I really do.
It's like the vibrating of your own voice and the other person's voice in your ear.
In
and
your
it feels
ear.
Kind of good.
Yeah, it adds to it. You
and
know?
You're making it so you can't hear anybody else.
Exactly.
Too, so nice,
I fucking like it. Hmm. So anyway, so yeah, when I was on tour, I was in a relationship. But then I found out, like, I was on tour with Fetty and Post, you know? And it was, like, huge at the time. And I was with this fucking guy who was not it. At all.
And he's back home stressing you out?
He was just stressing me the fuck out, right?
Right.
And he was not that dude. And I have like Fetty who's like on my dick. But like I was just, you know, like I was in a relationship.
Staying loyal.
Yeah.
You were the loyal type? You really didn't cheat on this guy?
Yeah, I really didn't. Okay. Listen to this shit. Mm. So then I find a fucking video on his phone, him fucking another girl.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, I was young. I was really young and I was really naive, but I was like really loyal to him and I didn't want to do anything. So at the time, I like didn't have, like, I never told anyone this story. I'm gonna tell you the story.
I feel
though.
Special.
I know. I feel like people come on here and tell shit that they never tell anyone. So it's like a thing. So I was like, this is it. This is the place to tell the story if you're gonna
tell it. Sounds good.
So then, you know, we were in, you know, whatever, and I found that video. And then Fetty was kind of like, you know, eyeing me, but you know, he always had his hoes and shit. And I was just like, eh, I don't want to be one of those.
Mm.
My guy, like, I know, like, he had cancer, he had chemo, he couldn't have kids. So I wasn't on birth control because I just like, I was used to that with my guy, you know, right. That was like, I didn't have to worry about
kind
that.
Of a you bonus.
Know? Like, yeah, it was a bonus. I didn't have to worry about shit. You know,
you almost died, but we don't have to wear condoms.
Yeah, exactly. You know, period. But so, you know, on tour, you know, me and Fetty, like I finally was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. I don't care. You know, because
right.
After I found that video on my guy's phone, I was like, fuck you.
Uh-huh.
So me and Fetty had a little fling for like a while,
okay.
You know, on tour. And then after tour, I was pregnant.
With this guy.
With Fetty's baby.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I had to, you know, I took care of it. But, you know, and that's why, like, I was so, like, I was like, you know, I do want to talk about this. Because I was like, think about it. And I was like, don't talk about it. But it's like, Pete, the whole, like, abortion conversation is, like, a thing now.
Mm.
And it's just like, hold on. We can't fucking take away women's rights like this. Like,
I
was not ready to have a baby, you know? And I don't give a fuck how many baby mamas did it. And
right.
They did it. Power to them.
Right.
I don't see them doing shit. Now, no offense. I don't care. I'll say it. I don't give a fuck.
No, I mean, so we got to keep women's rights to have an abortion for sure. Because
yeah.
We definitely don't need some one-eyed baby with mad chains on just running around America and shit. Fake dreads, all that. That's
and my
not...
thing is, especially when I would be one of nine, my like baby mamas. Like, that's so embarrassing. And for my...
He already has eight?
I don't know. Probably.
Something like that?
Something like that, oh right? God. And it's like at the beginning of my fucking career, that right. Would have ruined me.
Did
you
have
know?
People like your friends and shit who are telling you like you don't want to do this because that's gonna sort of taint your image because
yeah.
You know women are judged super harshly
no,
like that in the industry especially.
Everybody was telling me
right.
That you cannot fucking do this. Like you will be you'll look like an idiot. Like I was the artist, like you know, we were on the same label. Like it was like, you know, as an artist, all you want people is to always take you seriously with your music and shit. You know what I mean? So for me to be like baby mama number nine or whatever the fuck I would have been.
Right.
That looks pathetic, you know? So everybody was like telling me no, but I already knew like no.
So did the boyfriend get broken up with before you had this abortion
and
stuff? Or how did
we
that happen?
We were like still, you know, toxic relationship shit. We
going
were still,
back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, he knew that it wasn't his. And that's when our relationship went. Haywire.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was really bad. So that was like, after that experience, I was like really scarred.
Was Fetty distressed about the baby or at this point, is that just like whatever for him?
It's just whatever for him.
He's
you know?
Just happy to have he another hot girl
a
with a baby running around.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Holy
and like,
shit.
I don't I don't know because his parents, like, I don't know. His mom, he's a good mama.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I love his mama. And I was like, damn, like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, you know, your mom is so respectable, but who knows? You don't know what people go
so
through.
So he has a kid and then it's just like, he'll hang out with it a little bit, but he's not really pressed to spend that much time with it?
Hell no. I don't think that, like, listen, I don't know how he is as a father. He looks like a good father, but I wouldn't want to have a baby with someone who has fucking nine baby mamas. Like, that's so embarrassing. That's so, like, that's not what I want.
I don't even have nine friends.
Like, you feel me? My circle's that small, bro. So it's like, oh, hell no. This is not it. So for me, it was like the best decision that I made in my life.
Right.
And then now it's like this whole conversation, like stopping abortion. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? Are we being serious?
No, like, for real. Like, if you are allowing people to, or you're forcing people to have kids that they don't want to have, those kids are going to grow up with shitty fucking upbringings.
Period.
They're going to get into crime and they're going to be hanging out at the bus stop and shit. You don't want that. You want people to only be having kids if they really want to be having kids.
Period.
But was, and I apologize if this is too intrusive, but was the abortion like traumatic for you or is it a relatively smooth process?
It was so
process?
Traumatic.
Really?
I mean, because, okay, there's a couple reasons why it was traumatic. So I had the abortion in April. I was on we were on tour from January, February, March.
Mm.
I had the abortion in April. Like, it was like that. And
right.
Then in July, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And, like, they say, it was insane. And they say that when a woman gets pregnant, like, with MS, like, that's what brings out, you know, like, different attacks. And because your hormones go so up and then they go so down.
Wow, really?
So, yeah. So, it was, like, the most traumatic, like, couple months of my life. And this was, like, my first national tour with fucking the biggest artist at the time and Post Malone right before Post blew the fuck up, too.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, this is, like, I'm on Billboard, I'm on this and that. And then all this shit happened, you know?
Holy
so, it was
fuck.
Just, like, yeah, it was a lot.
That
so
is insane.
It was so traumatic that I was just like, yeah.
So what did you have a hunch that you were sick for a while leading up to this diagnosis or were you okay and then you just found out?
I mean, it was like literally insane. When I tell you insane, like I started like around in June,
uh-huh.
I started like the vision in my left eye started going.
Right.
And it was crazy that it was my left eye. And then I started like seeing double vision. I had an optic nerve attack. And then, Ooh, it's stomping.
Sorry about that. People upstairs.
This is such a dark topic.
I know. We're not really supposed to have a studio in here, so people walking around upstairs. Yeah, this is sort of like a spur of the moment
thing.
Yeah.
Every fucking building in Hollywood and West Hollywood was built like this, so whatever. But yeah, it's just, it was insane. Like, and then I got the diagnosis and then I started treatment and it was like, oh, how am I going to deal with all of this? You know, it was really, it was just a lot.
So in terms of what that's going to be like for you, is this the kind of thing that's just going to sort of steadily get worse and worse for you? Or like, what's it like for you diagnosis wise?
I mean, thank God, like I'm doing amazing. Like I'm on treatment and I'm doing like the treatment's working amazing for me. So like, it's almost like we reversed it and I feel like I feel cured. Like I feel amazing. You know, I really do. And I just, it was a very traumatic time for me. And I was also in like a bad deal, like record deal too at the same time. So it was
what
just,
was the RFG Productions is the name
RGF,
of the label?
RGF, yeah. That's RGF. Who pretty much, yeah. That's who Fetty is signed to. People thought I was signed to Fetty, but no, we're signed to the same label.
Okay.
You know, and it was just, it was bad. I feel, you know, I feel bad for him and every artist that was signed because.
How did they discover you?
I met WAP at an event in New York. He's from Jersey. I'm from New York, you know. And I moved back to New York eventually and whatever. And I met him at an event and I had just worked with like the Timbaland camp and all this shit and like new artist shit. But like they wanted to sign me. And then I was just like, I didn't know, you know, I was so young and I didn't fucking know. I didn't know anything, you know?
Right.
So like,
did you have any kind of social media following already like, or are you sort of just
a little bit, not really. Out of nowhere. Yeah. Like it was just like, I had like 30,000 when I met Fetty and it was just like, da da da, you know? And
how old were you?
I was like 19, oh, 20. Wow.
And
yeah.
Being 19 as a woman especially and just having to figure out what label to sign with this shit is just such
it was a lot.
You're so not prepared and there's almost nobody that you can really turn
no
to
one.
Unless you're lucky and you end up with a really good like music lawyer. But I mean, it's tough to come by.
I just feel like so like, you know, like people who just get lucky off their first try are like
very
so
rare.
Fucking blessed, oh, you know? Yeah. Like it's like fuck. You
that's
know?
Why it's crazy seeing Taylor Swift come out and be like, oh, I don't know my masters or whatever, because right. Every other musician right. In the industry is like nobody owns their fucking right. Early catalog. Which is
Swift
terrible,
is
but
like,
it's so true.
What's happening to her right now is fucked up. I feel bad for her. She is just like, oh man.
The weird thing about it though is that she's like weaponizing her fan base to go after these dudes who are basically doing the exact same thing that everybody else in the music industry
right.
Is doing. Like I heard Joe Budden talking about it the other day and he's like laughing about it because that's his career, is that his early albums are owned by somebody else because
exactly.
He was signed to a label.
Exactly.
It's everybody, yeah.
And that's the great thing about what happened to me and the deal ending and me getting out and stuff is like they would have owned me for the rest of my life.
How'd you get out of the deal? It just wasn't that kind of long-term deal? Was
it
like
it wasn't that
long-term.
Mm. And it was like a production deal and they had to get me a label deal. WAP is fucked, you know, because WAP got him a deal with 300, you know, and that was the goal. They had to get me a bigger deal, you know.
Right.
But it was just, they were just, it was a fucking disaster, you know.
Because they just couldn't do anything for you or what was the deal?
Yeah, it was called, it was like, our tour was like, Welcome to the Zoo, and it was like, Welcome to the motherfucking zoo.
It was
like,
a zoo?
It was a zoo. It was insane.
Really? Just
yeah,
crazy,
it was
bad
fucked.
Shit going on every day?
A lot of bad shit going on.
Really?
A lot of bad shit. A lot of shady shit. A lot of people stealing shit. A lot of people doing fuck shit. Like, shady shit.
Wow. And you're just brand new in the industry, just taking this all in. Like, what the fuck is
going
on around
me? Yeah, what the fuck is this? Yeah. And I'm like, so naive. You know what I mean? Like, it's that whole fucking saying. If I knew then what I know now type shit. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have tolerated any of it. But, like, at the time, it was like...
Were you, like, a young girl dreaming about being a recording artist? Or is this something that just sort of popped up as, like, a girl who was just...
Yeah, it was like,
it
this
was
is always my dream
was
always
dream.
To do music, be on tour. You know what I mean? Like, that was always my dream. So finally, my dreams are coming true. You know, like, I'm on tour. I'm on radio. I'm on Billboard. All this shit. But, like, I'm in a fucked up deal. I'm in a fucked up relationship. I'm in fucked up situations. I'm in, like, just all these fucked up things. And it was, a lot of it was my decisions. You know, you can't, like, blame everybody forever, you know? Mm. Like, it was my decisions. I made these decisions. Like, I decided to sign the deal. You know
right.
What I mean? Because I was fucking opening up for him and performing in front of 2,000, 3,000, 10,000 people, you
it
know?
It feels like the biggest thing in the world at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like a real performer. That's my thing. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's my shit. That's my thing. So when I get on that stage, I just lose myself, you know? And that's what I love more than anything. So for me, it was like, I'm able to do what I love more than anything. it's such a big fucking scale, and I've only been doing music for like 2 years, you know what I mean? Like at the time. So it was all like, or even less. So it was all like amazing at the time, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I started as an intern at Def Jam. And then,
when you were what, like 18, 19?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And what was that like? Is that, was that as an introduction to the music industry? How was that?
Being real, like honestly, like I saw so young how fucked up the industry was. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how fucked up it is to like women, you know what I mean? Like most of the, and it's like a, it's a sucky thing, and I feel like it's changing. Maybe I want to see what you think.
Okay.
Because I feel like, obviously, most of the guys just want to fuck. Obviously, most of these execs, you know, that's how the fuck they are. You know, they just want to smash, or they're just trying to finesse, or whatever the fuck they're doing. You know, homie on homie on homie.
So you just felt that because I mean, most people in the music industry, for the most part, like on a professional end, it is mostly dudes. It's
mostly
just
dudes.
Doesn't end up with that many.
And it doesn't matter if you look like a girl. If you, as long as you got a pussy, they want to fuck.
Really?
Like dead ass. Like it doesn't matter, because I know girls that look like straight up boys, and they still get mad dudes that want to fuck them. And
really?
I'm like, you look like a boy. I feel like
I'm so oblivious to this because, like,
really?
to me, I would never try anything with a girl in the industry
because
it seems so problematic.
And
I got a girl
that you fuck with.
Right.
Most of these dudes don't have that. You know what I mean?
Right.
They have girls that they don't fuck with,
but
or whatever,
I'll,
you know?
I'll holler at like a fucking stripper or a porn star, but girls in the music industry,
right.
I'm just so like aware of what their position is and
how.
Yeah,
you know, it's a power thing.
Yeah,
it's a power
exactly,
thing.
Yeah.
They try to fucking take power from like, and these little young artists or whatever, and it's like they're easy prey or we're easy prey, whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? Like when I was young and naive, I was an easy.
Yeah, because you're in the ultimate shitty situation because you're super young, you're super cute, and you got all these fucking weird ass dudes who realistically are not around that much female talent, probably.
Period. And it's like, oh, you're talented, you're easy prey, you know?
Ooh,
like they're like piranhas, you know what I mean? And then the women, I was expecting the women to be like supportive. And sorry, I have this cough. I had this woman who's still in my life, and she's like my mentor, and she was like always giving me game. She was always like, if I would have just listened to her, it would have been fine.
Right.
But then I had these other women that were like hating on me, you know, being fucking like, oh, she's trying to take my position, so fuck her. You're like, no,
wow,
I'm not
really
trying to take your position, bitch. I don't care. I don't want this position. Trust
You're talking
me.
About like successful female recording artists?
No, like these female execs that you expect to be supportive, and they're not.
Really?
You know what I mean? Some are. Some are really about the women empowerment shit that they talk about. They really are. They're like, you're a woman. I got your back. You know what I mean? And I've had those experiences, thank God. But then I've also had these experiences, like these girls, like they're so like bitchy and catty and like, oh no, she wants my position. Fuck her. Get her out.
Right.
And that's how it was for me.
Wow.
So I lost my internship after a month because I couldn't get credit from my school. I was too young. And then like, cause you're supposed to be like a fucking junior and I was only like a freshman. So it was just like, they didn't let me. And then like, you know, I couldn't continue. The girls I was interning for in the publicity department were like, no, we can't.
And so Fetty was the first person that actually recognized you as having talent?
Yeah, like he was the first one, like legit, but after Timbaland and them.
Oh, okay.
But like the Timbaland thing was just more so like, you know, like he was my favorite producer and like, you know what I mean? I was like, I would've worked with Timbaland. But
I was
like,
in the gym the other day and Timbaland walked in.
You know, He like lost a lot of weight.
It was great. Yeah, his huge triceps, his arms are gigantic.
Like it was just like, but at the time it was weird because he would like hit on me too, and I was like fucking 19, bro. Fucking relax, you know. And like it was just sad. And then like Fetty was the first one, that like believed in me and was like, I love your music, and was like, you know what I mean? Like, and for me at that time, I was like, oh my God, you know what I mean?
But is it weird that like when someone really seems like they really believe in you in the music industry, that usually they're also trying to fuck?
Yeah, but you know what, with Fetty, it was almost like he brought it to the team, and then the team was like, oh, we gotta sign her. Like, it was like
more
that.
More professional?
Yeah, it was more, and it wasn't like, it was more like, oh, she's fucking dope. You know what I mean? Mm. It wasn't like, oh, this whole, like, it wasn't that. It was like, she's dope, and we need to work with her. And then it became, like, we were on tour, and we were like, look. And, like, I remember, like, the time that I knew, I went to go get, like, they had these chocolate-covered strawberries, and he had the whole box, and he just like, here, take the whole box. And I was like, okay. Like,
oh,
you know,
what a Romeo. Yeah.
Yeah. No, at the time, you know, when you're fucking young, you don't fucking know. Like, you're just like, oh my God, he gave me a whole box of strawberries. That's so cute. And you
that
know,
cute.
You know, it was sweet. Like shit like that, you know, but it was more so. Yeah. Like the team and everybody was just like, she's the fucking dopest. So at the time it just made me feel like really good because they were so like hot. But then it was like, and then they were not.
So when did you end up getting out of this deal and how'd that work?
I got out of it about a year ago. I just had to wait for it to end because they didn't want to let me out.
Uh-huh.
So it was like really bad. Like they didn't want to let me out. And then it was like, oh, you can go to court and all that bullshit. And I was like, yeah, we're not doing that because it's going to take more time than waiting for it to end, you know?
So you feel like reborn now because you're.
Hell yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a couple like, you know, transformations in that time. You know what I mean? And
really?
It was like, oh,
what
yeah.
What changed musically or personality wise?
I mean, like everything really, because I went through the whole diagnosis. I went through that. I went right. like everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just like went through a couple transformations, you know? And then like also with the music, I was making like super pop music. And then I was like, you know what? Like I need to tap into my New York side, you know,
uh-huh.
and my fucking rail side real quick. And I did that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like, you know, because I sing and I rap and uh-huh. that's always been the thing. But it was just like when I was signed to them, I was like the pop girl.
Right.
And that's what they kept me as, the pop girl. And I was just like, I'm not just some bubblegum poppy bitch. You know what I mean?
They
that's
wanted
not...
you in that category, but you're out here like, nah, I'm a real Brooklyn bitch.
Yeah, period. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like sides to a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, I got my sides. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I got my vulnerable sides. I got my sides where I want to go poppy. And then I got my sides where I like going hard. You know
right.
what I mean? So.
Do you work with writers at all or you do all your own shit?
I mean, I read a lot, but I do like working. Like, I do like the collaboration process.
Right.
I do. I think, like, as artists, we all need it. I just, yeah, I just did a feature with Lil Xan, and I made him, like, I made him rewrite his verse.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I even offered him a writer and everything. And he was like, no, I'm just trying to write my own shit right
what,
now.
What, you didn't like his verse?
No, I didn't. I'm going to be real.
So you were doing a feature on his song or he was getting
he
on
was
your
He was getting
shit?
On my shit.
How'd you guys even end up working together?
Through a mutual person that we know.
Okay.
Yeah, like a video person and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, oh, we want to shoot your shit. They shot the Danny Lay, Chris Brown shit. And they shot like a bunch of shit. And they were
oh,
like...
Wow.
And I just put out a new video. So they reached out to me and they were like, we want to do your shit. And I had a song with him already.
Uh-huh.
But like, they were like, oh, you should do a song. But I wasn't really on it that much. I was just on it like a little bit, like a little couple bars.
Right.
And they were like, no, we should do like a real song and have him hop on it. And like, da da da. So like, I threw him a song that I already had. And then he hopped on it. And then literally this is just happening like now. And then he was just like, yeah, I was like, yeah, I don't like the verse. So you need to rewrite it. Or I'll give you a writer.
And he agreed to it?
Yeah.
I feel like he pretty much, if a pretty girl tells him to do something, he's just going to do it.
No, he agreed to it.
But that's my impression of Lil Xan.
It was hard. It was hard because I was scared that he was going to be offended, you know?
He's so soft. And I feel like I literally feel like if a pretty girl tells him to do something, he's just going to do it. So I kind of like feel like I know exactly how that situation's. Like, I literally saw Lil Xan lock eyes with Selena Powell and he like immediately forgot he had a girlfriend.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was when I knew he had a problem.
Oh
I'm like,
my
you like
God.
Girls too much, my friend. You a fan of Selena Powell?
I saw her shit with you. That shit was fucking hilarious.
I went to Rolling
See,
Loud.
This bitch is crazy.
I went
I
to Rolling
it.
Loud and so many people brought that up to me that it was like it was the only thing I had ever done was that because so many people were like, oh my God, I just watched that thing with Selena. I'm like, holy fuck, that shit like took over the world.
It really did. I don't know. I feel like people really want to hear like the fuck shit, like more than anything.
You probably know a lot of girls who could tell us all the fuck shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is it hard to stay out of the fuck shit or are you in the fuck shit?
I mean, for me, I was, you know what I mean? When I was like younger, you know, I would get myself in these fucking situations, you know,
really?
Like be
going
at Chris Brown's house and shit and be like, why am I here?
Chris Brown's house. How was that? Remember the NDA.
No, fuck no.
You didn't sign it.
Hell no.
Did you see it?
I walked the fuck out.
Really?
On God.
And
I like him as an artist and I still respect him as an artist always. He's an amazing artist. But like personally, I don't fuck with none of that shit.
None of what? The NDA shit?
Just like fucking naked bitches running around, drugs everywhere and shit. And like,
that's
I just,
what it was like?
Yeah, like pounds of coke and shit on the table. I don't give
pounds.
A fuck. This is the real. I'm gonna be real. Niggas need to stop fucking capping and stop fucking fronting because that's the fucking real. And like, that shit is whack.
Wow.
And so like, you know,
you weren't into the vibe.
Hell no. And then it was just like, well, are you going to join? Fuck no, nigga, I'm out.
All
you got me fucked up.
All the other girls that you were with or whatever, they were down. How'd you even end up going there?
Oh, okay. So this is what happened. So the first, I got this random fucking phone call one day.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I swear to God, on my life, right hand to the Bible. Oh, God. I got a random phone call one day and it was him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how the fuck he got my number. He's like, oh, CB. I'm like, what? Who's this?
Some of these rappers and shit, man, I swear they got like fucking phone banks
I just
of girls and shit,
I don't understand how the fuck you got my number. Like, what the fuck? This is when I first like kind of moved to LA.
Right.
And like, you know, I don't know this shit. I'm like, oh my God, Chris Brown's calling me. Like, so I'm with my girl and I'm like, Chris Brown just called me, my girl Jemiah. And she's like, shit, what does he want? I'm like, I don't know. He just sent me his address. He's like, pull up. We're in the studio. We vibing. So, of course, that's how they lure you in.
The studio. We vibing.
That's how they lure you in.
Mental note. I'm going to say that one day.
Yeah, no. It's how they lure you in is like, oh, yeah, they try to lure me in because they know I do music. So they're like, oh, come do music. Mm. And then I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know, I'm excited. I'm about to get this feature. We about to get off, you know? Mm. No, it's not that. You know what I mean?
You pull up and it's really not that vibe at all.
No, as a woman, you need like fucking five barriers between you and these motherfuckers sometimes. You know what I mean? Because you need the plug to just take care of it and talk to my people. Because at that point, sometimes if not,
right,
it becomes too, you know, mixy. So I get there and it was fucking dope. This first experience, like, dope. It was like Teyana Taylor was in the room and EJ and all these people. And it was just a vibe. Like, everyone was just vibing. Okay. Right. So I'm expecting... So the next, a couple days later, he's like, pull up. Like, you know, we're, whatever. So it's like, it's called 1 p.m. Do we have tea?
This is tea.
It's not hot enough.
She's spilling tea for the record.
Yeah, the tea. Yeah.
See, I know.
I know, right?
I'm a fucking disco girl. I know what to say, bro. What?
So,
we only got coffee, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
We got sugar-free Red Bull.
Oh, yeah, I know. I have that, too. So then, you know, I pull up, like, a couple days later and shit, and, like, it was not the same experience.
Right.
So it was just like, what the fuck is going on? I'm with my same girl, and she's just like... And by the way, I decided to go, like, covered from head to toe, because I'm just like... I swear to God, because I was like, I don't want him getting the wrong impression.
Full veil or what?
Yeah, like, if I was about to wear the hijab. Like,
you did.
But I didn't. I just, like, you know, full covered.
Wow.
Like, long sleeves, pants, and shit that I'm always, like, showing some skin, but I was just like, no.
I mean, I think that's smart, honestly. If you're pulling up and you're trying to make it really clear.
Yeah, like, I really was. I was very adamant about that. This time when we pull up, there's a few of the dudes, you know, his homies and shit, who I didn't like their energy at all. And I'm an energy person, you know? So I'm just like, what is this energy? Like, you're negative, all these negative guys around him. And, like, they're like, oh, we need your phones. And I'm like, why? We were just here, like, a couple days ago, and I had my phone in my fucking hand the whole time. I didn't do shit. I don't give a fuck. What the fuck? I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not giving you my phone.
Right.
That's not happening. I refuse to give my phone up, like, all the time. You ask me to give my phone up, I'm out.
That's
I don't give
real.
A fuck. I'm not doing this. Because if anything were to pop off, go down, like, I need my phone with me. I need to call my shooter right away.
It is so fucking weird how that shit has become so normal. Like, sometimes I'll have my girl with me and we'll be, like, going to hang out with some rappers and shit. And, like, she'll at some point realize she's the only one who's still got her phone.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's with me, so she's allowed to have her phone. But all the other girls are not allowed to have their phone. It's such
a weird double standard,
right?
And that's the thing. That's the fucking thing. And that's what, like, even, like, recently my girl was, like, talking to one of Trippy's people or whatever. So she's, like, pull up to the studio. And I literally, they were like, oh, give us your phone. And I was like, no, I'm out. And once I did that, like, I don't know. Like, I was like, no, I'm out. And they let me keep my phone. Because I was like, I'm leaving. What the fuck? I don't need to be here. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Like, once you, that vibe... They're like, oh, okay, you're cool. But like, once you, if you give that vibe of like, oh no, like, okay, here you go. Like, they don't respect you. And you're going to fucking respect me or else I'm out. I don't give a fuck.
It is crazy.
I'm a fighter, so
because
I'll fight.
The shit that you're describing of like mansion parties and shit with just coke everywhere and naked bitches and shit. It's like, if everybody had their phones, bro, that shit would be leaking all
over the
place.
That shit would be leaking everywhere, yeah. And you know, it's me. Thank you, baby.
Thanks, Laura.
But yeah, I mean, I just feel like, wait, what? Is it good? Wait, what's wrong? Is it okay?
You have more over there.
No, I know, but it's cold.
Oh. sorry.
It's cold.
I need some hot.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, for me, like, I'm not, like, I smell weed and shit, but I'm not, like, into, you know.
Right.
Like, I don't really like all that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've dabbled, but I don't like it.
The
so.
Coke thing is... Yeah, you
I
don't
think it's
make
very
that a
overrated, bruh. I really do. I'm sorry, but like maybe the MS thing was like a blessing in disguise for me because of that and my treatment and shit. They check my blood every.
So it's super
months.
Important that you stay healthy now because of this.
Yeah, super important, and I'm so healthy. So because of that, it's like a blessing. Cause like you know, of course, it's LA. Like I've literally been you know, you'll be with someone and then all of a sudden you find out like they're like hiding the fact that they're doing all this coke for me. Like, it's so, so sad. Weird.
And I feel like when you do coke, you find out everyone is doing coke because they end up offering it to you and
period.
Shit. But if you don't do it, then motherfuckers keep it super
so secret.
And now I'm back in the position where I haven't done coke in so many years that it's like now I don't fucking know.
Everyone's so secretive.
Laura, are you doing coke? I don't know.
Laura?
No, she said no. Okay. But you know, just in general, it's like, but to me, I just don't understand that mentality because yes, it feels good. Yes, it's crazy. It's fun. It's just not worth what comes afterwards. Yeah. It's like, I would way rather be steady and feel good all the time than like have these crazy spikes in my enjoyment level that are followed by these massive fall offs.
Period. And in LA, it's kind of like scary because it's like, you'll think you'll know someone, completely know them. Mm. Like, I literally like friends or people, whatever, you know?
Right.
And then it's like, you find out that they do heavy amounts of coke and you're like, how did I not know this? Like, how did I not pick up on this shit?
Yeah.
But yeah, you've been staying up till 6 a.m. every day. And yeah, you've been doing this. Well, okay. Yeah, it makes sense. Like, you know, because how the fuck can you do that, you know, every day?
I just did the interview with Maude's son, and he basically just stopped doing coke after doing it every day for like 6-7 years, whatever. And that was kind of what I said is like, bro, I always thought that you just had mad energy and were always down to be at the club at 4 a.m. or whatever. And I thought, I'm just an old man. Oh, I was just like, I just don't want to party that hard. Oh, you were on drugs.
Yeah, coke. I should have known.
But I'm like a grown ass man, and it still doesn't always just. You know, because if you don't see somebody doing it, or you don't see the evidence right in front of your face. Like, he was hiding it from his girlfriend.
Yeah.
From
his
friends, you know. And
that's a fact.
Yeah.
A lot of people will just literally, like, completely hide it and just put on this whole persona. And it's like, fuck, like, I did not know. But now I'm trying to get really, like, you know how people have their gaydar or whatever the fuck they say. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to have that radar with cokeheads. Because it's just like, even when cokedar, new thing. It's like, even when you're fucking friends with someone and then you find out, damn, you're doing all this coke, like, fuck, like, this is not good, you know? Because then they become wishy-washy and indecisive and all over the place.
It's funny that you're more like that with, like, coke, though, because I feel like I am more likely to have friends who just get really into Perks or Lean or Zans, and then they start getting all weird. I've had so many friends over the years that just one day, all of a sudden, they're just perked the fuck out and they're just a different person.
Yeah. And I could see that more than I see the coke thing. I think coke is overrated. But I could see where, like, you know, like painkillers and shit, like, I can see where you can get, you know what I mean?
I like that shit, yeah, I can't
lie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even Zans, like, it just chills you the fuck out. Like, and when, like, I'm a high strung, high fucking energy type person, so
I've had a problem with that shit in the past because... Yeah. When you have a lot of fucking energy and shit and you sort of get into that pattern of using that shit to chill you out, that's what I got fucking into.
Exactly.
A little bit.
I mean, for me, if it wasn't, again, for the MS thing, my treatment and shit, like with Zans, like I slowly was just like, okay, I like this. And then that's when it was like, stop right now. Like, you know, I was like, I'm going to go get a prescription for it because I can. Mm. But then it was just like, no, you're not. Like,
every girl can get a prescription for it, which is the scary part. Like, so many chicks in LA.
Everyone can get prescriptions like that, which is sad. But it's like, you don't even know what you're going to be doing. And then I've seen what happens to people.
Right.
So then I have to keep them in mind. You know, like, close friends that, like, go on this slippery slope of, like, you know, or even one of my good friends, like, one of my best friends, like, he takes Adderall, like, every day.
Right.
But he has prescriptions. But it's just still, like, I'm like, you know, this is not... okay, you know?
And that's what's where I remember a few years ago, I had a girlfriend and, like, she goes to the doctor because she was, like, depressed because she hated her job.
Yeah.
And she felt like her life was pointless. She goes to the doctor and the doctor ends up giving her Xanax, but she's, like, a fucking regular ass chick, so she didn't know about what Xans were like.
Exactly.
And I'm like, yo.
And then you find out, like, shit.
I'm like, listen, I'm like, I know mad people that are super fucked up off this shit. So I'm literally in a position where I'm giving her better advice than the doctor was.
I mean, the doctor will just be like, even
for
me. Who
the fuck am I?
Even for me, like, being with the MS shit and everything, like, the doctor will be like, oh, well, do you want this and do you want this? Like, oh, I'm having mood swings. Oh, well, let's put you on a mood stabilizer. Oh, I'm having this. Oh, well, let's put you on this. Like, no, what the fuck? I'm already on a heavy medication. You're fucking me up here.
That's crazy.
Because they just, you know. You know how it goes.
How did you end up working with PNB Rock? Was that was more recent after the whole Fetty Wap saga?
Yeah, PNB is like one of my favorite people. Uh-huh. Like, I love him. He's amazing.
Great guy. I saw him in the airport the other
day. He's amazing. Yeah. He really is an amazing artist and an amazing person. Like, we just did a show together in like Philly and, you know, his state. And like, then afterwards I was like, yo, like, I need to get you on a record right now. Let's go to the studio. So we went to the studio that night, and he cut it that night.
Right.
And it was just like, he didn't ask for nothing. Like, he literally, he showed up to the video shoot, didn't ask for anything. I didn't pay him anything. Like, he just did it off the strength. And it was like, wow.
That's dope.
Yeah, like, he was, and it was like, now, like, it was like right before he started blowing up too. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, like, we had, both of us had way less of a following and stuff when we did it.
Oh, so this was what, so, like 3-4 years ago before he started going crazy?
Probably like 2.
Oh, okay.
1.5, you know? Word. Because I feel like in the last year, he's really started going crazy, in my opinion, I think. Maybe like 1.5 years, yeah, I think.
I don't know. I would be interested to see. I feel like he's had like a pretty strong 3-4 years.
Yeah.
I feel like I interviewed him like almost four years ago.
Yeah, he was already hot. Yeah. Like, we were both already hot, but he's like really blown up to me, I think.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so, and then, yeah, like, we just always, like, we always had a great vibe, like, you know? And then the other day, even, he hit me up, and he's like, we gotta make another hit, you know? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I'm ready.
That's tight.
Yeah, yeah, he's the best. Like, I think, and talent-wise, like, he's super talented, you know? Because it sucks when you're like, oh, this guy gotta redo his verse. But with him, it's like, yo, he got in there, he wrote his whole shit.
Right.
You know, he wrote that whole shit. I saw him with my own 2 eyes.
The fact that you made fucking Lil Xan rewrite a verse, that's some legendary shit. We're going to be talking about that for years to come. I wonder if he's going to react. You think he's going to be on the story, sad? I mean, that's like more worth it if that's what happens.
Oh, shit. I mean, I had to. It was just like, oh, we can't put this out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he has a tendency sometimes when he raps to just sort of like trail off and get a little too mumbly.
Yeah, and I just initially, like, it was just like, you know, I just didn't like, I just feel like it was like mediocre, and I just like don't like mediocre shit. Like, if we're gonna do this, we're gonna do it right, or we're just not gonna do it, you know?
That's the attitude. How'd you meet Trey Songz? What's your Trey Songz story?
Oh my God, I don't know what the fuck just happened. A couple weeks ago, we were at the club. I was doing this hosting at somewhere, and like, all of a sudden, like, he was asking about me in the front, and I'd never fucking met him. So I was like, what? And
that's then, a Trey Songz move. You ask the club staff about the girls that you think are cute in the
club. He came to the club and literally was like, hey, where's Inez? And like, and he knew I was like hosting that night or whatever. So he came and was like asking the people in the front, bring me to her right now.
Right.
And it was weird because I'd never met him. So I was like, why is he like, I don't know. She probably told you about that.
He's doing work. He's like just straight up doing research, seeking out women that he hasn't had sex with, since he's had sex with such a large percentage of them.
Yeah, and it's like, for me, I just feel like, okay, listen, homie, like, I'm cool, like, come to the section, it's fine. But then the whole thing was so weird.
Why?
Because he came to my section, like, literally was just like, saw that I had a lot of people in my section, too many people, didn't really like it, so asked for his own section, and I was like, okay, whatever. And then, like, when I left, because I went to leave, and I had, like, a green hair at the time. I don't know. It was going crazy with the green hair.
Respect.
And then he, like, literally followed me out, but did not, like, he, like, I feel like every time he tried to, like, talk to me or say hi to me or something, there was always someone with me. Or there was always some, you know what I mean? And you know when, like, how dudes are when they see a guy with you? Like, it was probably the security guard or fucking manager or someone, you know, my video guy or something, but he's thinking, oh, you know, so I think he just was like a little weird, and he would just like didn't say hi to me. He was like a shy boy. I was like, what's going on? Like,
shy
I'm so
boy.
I was so confused, and I was like, I was asking everyone around me, like, am I going crazy, or was like, did he just follow me out and just come to the section and just ask, like, why?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I still haven't figured it out.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's just weird.
That is weird.
Just it's like coming to the club, asking for someone, and then just like, you know, and then not coming and then not talking to them much, or like, you know what I mean?
I love the Trey Songz meme that he's basically just like following Jordan Woods and Meg around to all their club performances. Do you believe that?
Oh, so he does that. I mean, he just does it. It's a thing. I'm sure.
The idea of it or whatever. It's like, just so often when I talk to a random girl on this podcast, they just have like a Trey Songz story. And I'm like, damn, I feel bad for him, because like him wanting pussy is becoming a meme.
But my thing is like, I feel like nowadays it's so much more respectable to be with one woman. Mm. You know what I mean? It's respectable. Like, for me, I don't like guys like that.
Right.
Like, I don't care. Like, you fuck too many girls, and we all know about it. And it's like, I just, now that I'm like, you know, I'm not young and naive in the industry anymore, I know what the fuck is going on.
Right.
So it would be like, no, bro. Like, the way guys look at girls, like, she's ran through. You know what I mean? That's how we look at a lot of guys nowadays, right, too. Like, he's ran through.
I mean, yeah, and not even like the idea that it's gross, but so much as that, like, if a guy seems like they're dedicating their entire life
to
like
getting pussy,
I've just known
getting
so many
money.
You know, I've known so many dudes like that in my life. And when I really think about it, it's like, I feel lucky that I've been in a relationship for 3 years, because the whole part of my life where I was like pretty well known and getting money, I've been in a relationship.
Right.
So I've been kind of like shielded from that, because a lot of these guys, they start getting money and then they just sort of like base their entire life around fucking as many new girls as possible. I'm not going to lie.
It's so fucking, honestly, it's so respectable, especially when your bitch is bad and you're letting her be, do her thing. That's so dope. Like, that's what girls nowadays, that's what the fuck we want. We don't want a guy that's been with everybody or that's every week in a new relationship, or, you know what I mean? Like, we just don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't fucking want that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want that, because I'm just like, no, like, I'm not getting ran through right now. So why the fuck are you getting ran through? Like, that's not cool.
It's kind of funny though, because now everybody just assumes the worst of each other. Like, if I were single and I were going to the club and I met some random hot girl in the club, in my mind, she fucked 18 dudes this week. Like, I'm just assuming the worst, because I know chicks that are like that. So it makes me feel like everybody's like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what though? What I've learned, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's like that whole saying, if they walk like a duck, talk like a duck, it's a fucking duck. And that's my whole thing. Like, if you act like a hoe and you're moving like a hoe, you're a hoe. I don't care. And it's power to you. Go be a hoe. But go be a hoe over there.
But there's a lot of girls I know who are like that. They're private snap chicks, porn stars, whatever. And they're super open and honest about the fact that they're like that. But then I also, like, sometimes she'll be like talking to a girl and she seems super sweet and nice or whatever, and then you end up in the club with her and you realize this bitch knows everybody.
Right. And it's just scary, like, when they know everyone, because, like, why do you know everyone?
You know, and it's sort of like, just makes you a little curious. Like, damn, how much time are you really spending in this club? Fucking place? Yeah.
No, you know what? It's a fact. And I'm not even going to lie to you. I rather fucking meet, like, you know, it's like nowadays, if you're meeting, like, even with him, like, we meet at the club, like, ugh. Right. Like, you know, that's so like, I don't want that. Like, you know, like, come on, because it's just like, if we're going for a bag, then yes. Right. If we're going to get money, then yes. You know what I mean? But other than that,
you ever been on a dating site?
No, right. I've never tried it. Like, okay, so 2 years ago, after all this shit happened, right? Like, I had like this woman in my life who was like super older than me, and she was like, "You have to start being smarter. Like, you can't do this like being stupid thing. Like, you have to be smarter than this."
Right.
So she was like trying to like get me to like go on seeking arrangements and shit. So I was like, okay, you make me account and you do that. I'm not doing shit. I don't want to do shit.
Right.
But I just never followed through with anyone, and I just couldn't do it. Like,
seeking arrangements, like, you were gonna try to do the sugar daddy type
thing. And I couldn't do it. Like, she was like, oh, this guy, he's 30 something, 40 something, and I'm like, I can't. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. Like, I just can't. So I would just blow them all off. Everyone's getting mad, and I was like, just take down my account, because I'm never gonna do it.
I want to be open-minded to that shit, but the truth is it just weirds me out so
bad. It weirds
me
out so much. And you know, the thing about it is, I know it's a thing in LA, and it was a thing that I became used to in LA, because everyone does that, and all these girls are like, most girls my age are like doing shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I have an actual like fucking name I'm building for myself. So it's like, that's not a good look. That's not my narrative. You know what I mean? That's not what the fuck I'm selling. That's not my narrative. Like, I'm not going to be like, yeah, like, fuck the sugar daddies for money. No, bitch.
Yeah, but
no.
That's the crazy shit, too, is that chicks now...
I'm sorry, but no.
Chicks now talk about it, like, they're hyped on it. They're proud of it, which is, like, it's kind of cool to see them, like,
and I saw, empowered. Like, yeah, and I it's all... That's all nice and shit, but here's the reality of the situation. They are degrading women, period, and then just, like, paying them off, and they treat women like shit most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, and I saw the other day, like, Young Miami, like, I love her. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I saw her say that with her boyfriend and shit, and it's like, oh, my sugar daddy. Like, no, he's your boyfriend. Mm. He's your damn near your husband. You just had a baby with him.
But
you
she
know?
Called him her sugar daddy?
Yeah, on God. She posted that and was like, my sugar daddy. And I think that that's awesome for you to call him that. But that's what the girls are like, oh, yeah, she's like, go get your sugar daddy. And that's what girls are going to start doing. And I just feel like, no, I don't want that. Like, I don't want a sugar daddy. Like, I want a man who's going to, we are equal. We take care of each other. And you do shit for me. I do shit for you.
Then you can actually, like, build something where you're on like equal footing.
Like,
you know?
I fucking love what Kim and Kanye are doing. They're fucking dope. Like, that is dope. You know what I mean? Like, that's her fucking husband. And he's like, that's my wife. Like, that's hot. You
that
know
pride
what I mean?
In it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's hot. That's hot. Not like, oh, my sugar daddy. No. No, because most of the time, the reality of it is, most of the time in LA, if a girl says she has a sugar daddy, he's 60, 70 years fucking old. Yeah. And it's disgusting. And it's like, think about that. Like, you're losing your youth to this old man just for money that tomorrow he can take away from you. Like, no, I'm not into that shit. Right. I think because I come from like a strong, independent woman, my mom has never been on that shit. Right. And I think that, you know, it's the opposite. I've had to deal with different shit, like not taking care of my, whatever the fuck it is. But at least I'm not like degrading myself, you know what I mean? For money. Like, that's not my shit. That's not my narrative. Like selling your body and shit for money. Power to you if you're doing that. I'm not taking away from the girls who do that. I just don't like that shit.
Yeah, like honestly, it doesn't weird me out. Girls who are like doing the private Snapchat thing.
Yeah, that doesn't weird me out. Go get your money. Yeah.
But fucking somebody
fucking
from
old men or just a guy just no, I can't. Yeah. I gotta like you. There gotta be a synergy there, like something.
You know, and it's like I kind of respect chicks who do it because if you can do that and it doesn't
and you're
bother
getting your
you,
money. Hey, listen, go ahead. I know girls who are younger than me even who are getting a lot of money from doing this shit. Yeah. A lot. And I'm like, listen, I power to you, but then I can't be friends with you.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, I've had a lot of girls in LA that I like, I'll fuck with, and I like fuck with the girl. Like, she's dope as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it's like you find out she's doing that, and it's like, I can't be friends with you because then people are going to think that I do that, and I don't. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know,
interesting.
There's a lot of weird shit out here that's going on.
My advice to these girls making money off fucking old men is put it in the fucking bank and don't spend it all on purses.
Yeah, period. At least invest in some shit.
You know, because like if you need to do that when you're young to run up a bag to maybe be able to do something else with your life,
do
I respect that more than you thinking like, oh, I'm going to fucking bang dudes till I'm 49 years old or some shit. Yeah, I don't know.
Because then also it's just like, you know, they just like the way to just dispose of the woman, get away. Like you lost your youth, you lost your beauty. Mm. And it's like, we're so much more than that. So I don't like that shit.
I respect that a lot.
Yeah, I don't like that.
What do you have in the works in terms of new shit coming out musically or projects? Or what are you working on?
Yeah, I'm working on my project. I'm working on an EP right now. And I mean, I think that we have Lil Xan on it, K-Camp, and potentially another song with P&B is in the works. Like, we've been talking about it, you know? So, like, right now it's just, like, for me, like, now that I'm out of this deal, I'm just putting out music again and just like getting like just my shit out there because I was like working on so much for so long and not able to drop.
Right.
So yeah, I just dropped my new single Loca and that's like doing amazing. So I just like want to keep on just dropping.
That's fine. Do you have like a diehard like young girl fan base for the most part?
Yeah, like I have like I love that and I think like a lot of like definitely exotic girls and like girls that like look like me are always like, wow, like, you know, you're doing it. Like, cause you know, being a Middle Eastern girl doing this is like not common.
People are
always
so shocked when there's like Middle Eastern girls in like American spotlight.
Yeah,
you know, I've
exactly.
seen that with my girl for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's, you know, nowadays it's like we're breaking barriers. You know what I mean? And it's important for us to be free and be able to do that. You know what I mean? Because I personally, as a little girl, like, of course I love like Beyonce and Rihanna and all these. I love Lady Gaga, like all these huge stars. But at the same time, I was like, oh, no one looks like me. And that like sucks. You know what I mean? But it's like being Middle Eastern, you know why? Because it's always like they try to like control you, suppress you, not let you do shit. You know what I mean? And for me, I've always been like a very like, oh, like very empowered, very like, I'm going to do it. I don't care. You know, I've always been that kind of girl. So I think now it's like I've used it and I'm like, I'm empowered and I feel powerful. So I want to make other girls, especially other people, but especially girls, feel that way.
Because I mean, that is happening now, but I also feel like over the next 10 years, it's going to be fucking crazy to see how like women basically like rise up and like demand their rights and
that's what's going
countries.
On. Yeah. And that's why it's important for, you know, I'm so adamant and like I don't even like to even, you know, with the women who are doing that kind of stuff, I don't want it to be like, I don't like putting any woman down, so I don't want it to be like that.
Right.
But my thing is like there's a lot of women right now that are going through a lot of suppression around the world and aren't allowed to even go outside of their house.
Right.
And I think it's important to empower them and let them know that you are so valuable. You can do anything that you want. You don't need anyone. You don't need a man, a woman, nothing. You could do it. Anything you want to do, you can go out and you can do it. Anything you want. So I think it's important to empower the woman as her own.
Yeah.
And that's what I really want to do. You know what I mean? Like as your own, on your own, you are fucking unstoppable.
Yeah.
You know? So like that's like so important to me because I think that, you know, I know that there's especially being like I'm Palestinian and there's so many girls, you know, in the Middle East that aren't allowed to do anything.
And they
don't
really. I mean, that shit is really fucked up because not only do they not really have like a role model like you necessarily who's telling them that it's OK to have the attitude, but they're just really like not even allowed to do shit to drive and shit in a lot of countries.
That's
crazy, bro.
And I mean, for me, it's like I've always like been super like. Because I was raised Muslim, right? Mm. And I just feel like I always saw the woman being treated as secondary. Mm. And I just have always been like, no, about that. You know what I mean?
You
I've
never
always,
like grew to think that was normal and acceptable?
No, never, really? Never. And I just like, because my mom is a Christian convert. My mom is, her family's Christian. And like my mom was born in Bethlehem, like where Jesus was born, like wow. Crazy. Yeah. So she came from like the strict Christians. She was in like a nunnery, like, you know, like her, she like her parents wanted her to be a fucking nun. Like that was what my mom's experience was. But then she married a Muslim man. My father was Muslim. So and my stepfather was Muslim. So it's like that whole like religious that it's just crazy that all of the, what the religion does, you know. Mm. And my religion, I say, is love. I just like want to just, I love love, and I feel like God is love, and I'm a spiritual person. Right. I'm not really religious, I'm spiritual. And I feel like with the whole like religion thing, they just like force these people to do these things that they don't want to do, and then it leads a lot of people to not being happy. Right. And I think that's a problem right now. Like so many people are unhappy, and it's like, why? It's like the institution of religion has been fucked up, you know what I mean? And I feel like the whole, I would go to the mosque every Friday. And my stepfather was teaching the religion, who's a big hypocrite. So that was a lot. And you know what I mean? Real shit. So that was like, what the fuck? Yeah. And then going to the mosque and seeing like women being treated like badly was, or in some places was hard for me to watch.
Right.
So I just feel like I would just be like, no, I don't like this. And I think the religion is beautiful. I think the way that a lot of people interpret it is what's fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
And how they, what they decide to teach. And, you know, like I had my like little baby cousin who was like 10 and was like, I can't wear nail polish. It's a sin. Oh, I'm like, girl, like, I hate that they're teaching you this. Like, I hate that this is what they're teaching you. Instead of being how to be a good person and what to do to be happy and be successful, they're teaching you, oh, you can't wear get the fuck out of here. No, we're not doing that.
The crazy thing about it, though, is that, like, religions can and do change over time. Because when I think about the version of Christianity that, like, my grandparents had, it was so goddamn strict versus, like, the version of Christianity that most people I know have now. It's just basically like, hey, peace and love, be nice to everybody, rah, rah, rah. Whereas, like, you know, and I feel like Islam is kind of like especially resistant to that, though, that they don't want to just like turn it over and allow it to just become like everything else. Because like Christianity these days basically sort of like reaffirms our mainstream culture. Of just like be nice and like buy stuff and sit on your couch and watch TV. They sort of like washed away any sort of like negative thing that might be associated with the religion in general. Right. And like, oh, that don't take that literally.
Right, you right. know? Yeah, and I have like a lot of friends too who are like born and raised Christian and they're like super about Christianity and Jesus. And then I have other ones who are like anti-Christianity. Like it just, I feel like depends on their experience. And for me, like my experience was just like, I loved the religions. I loved all of that. I just hated the way they were treating, especially women. And I was like, no, this is not it. And I don't like this. And I don't respect this. I don't want this, you know?
Do you get a lot of blowback from having the balls to say that as a Muslim woman?
I feel like now that I am like, I feel like a lot of people support it more than they go against it. Like, you know, even though I was like raised Muslim, I don't identify with Islam. I just identify with like just being love, you know, and just being a spiritual person. And I feel like, you know, it's about spirituality, connecting with your spirit, your soul, you know what I mean? And when I was practicing Islam, I didn't connect with myself. I didn't feel anything, you know, and I would like do the prayer 5 times a day and I just didn't feel shit. Yeah. And like, it was, I was going to Christian, like Catholic school and I didn't feel shit either there at mass and shit. I didn't feel anything.
I did a lot of praying. Yeah. I never really felt anything.
You didn't feel shit. You didn't feel shit. You know what I mean? And then like when I started doing like, you know, practicing spirituality and just talking to God and just connecting with myself. And, you know, like I'm a yogi. I love yoga. I love boxing and shit too, but I love yoga. And like, I just really love connecting. Like I love connecting with myself, connecting with other people. Like I love it. I love connection. And I just want to feel connected. And I feel like a lot of the time you might practice this religion, but not feel connected. You know what I mean? And I sat there and I will read the books just to read and learn what I want to learn, you know? Because I think like when you learn, you earn, you know what I mean? And that adds to your earnings, which is great. And I love learning, but it's like, I don't like a lot of the way that people do their shit or interpret it or the way they teach it. Or, and especially the way like, you know, they treat people because of it. And like, I'll sit there, like I, right now I'll go to like, you know, I've tried like Mosaic and like, you know, One Church and like all these churches out here. I love those. They're like just
all these like
fun.
Hip, fun,
they're
new
just
churches.
Fun, you know, they're not really religious. They're not religious. They're fun. They're nice. It's nice. It's like that thing. It's like what you said, like, positive affirmation.
They're designed to make people want to go to church by like stripping away all the not fun shit.
Exactly.
When I think about my childhood, Sundays for me were just dreading having to go sit on these fucking wooden benches and just howl these lame
ass songs. Or get on your
knees
and shit, and you're like, I don't want to.
It's like Sunday. I've been in school all week. This is the last thing I want to do. Yeah.
Yeah,
it felt so wrong to me as a kid.
Exactly. It does. It feels like, what's going on? And that's the thing. It's I like those places. And then my girl is Korean, so I went to a Korean church. You know what I mean? Like, my friend's like, you know, I'll go to like, you know, all kinds of churches. We're singing their asses off, and I love the experiences, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm the type that as long as I feel something, I'm down, you know. But if I don't feel shit, nah, I can't.
Maybe I should probably just go to like a black church because I
it's
feel like
so
I would like the vibes.
It's so fun. They're singing their asses off,
you know. Like, I feel like I would like the music, and I would like the vibes, But then it would be really funny because everybody would be like, look at Adam joining a black church,
exactly. But you know what? That's how I felt in the Korean church too, because I was in this fucking Korean church, the only non Korean.
Because
like,
now it's really cool to be Korean. Yeah. K-pop taking over the world, you know? It's like, look how bad Adam wants to be hip-hop.
Exactly. Look how bad he wants to be Korean now. They'll never say shit like that, but it's like, what the fuck? But it's like, I just want to experience this.
But
like,
if you drop a K-pop album...
I went to a church in fucking Compton, I'm not going to lie to you, and it was fucking epic.
See, like, that is what I feel like I would fuck
with. It was so epic. Like, it's just like, it's an experience. Like, you know, and they have food after, and like, you know, same thing with the Korean. A lot of cultural... churches like that are like super, they have food after, and I love to eat. So
if there's
like,
any churches in Compton that want to have us out, we'd be happy to come through. Yeah. We'll pull up. I don't know if we'd be accepted or not, but hey, why not?
Hell yeah, we would. They'd be like, well, we lit.
I got to bring some of my guys with me for sure.
Yeah, facts. Yeah. We're in the shoot, just in case.
To make sure that everybody knows, like, I got upside down cross on my face, but I come in peace, man.
I know, right?
All right. Hey, I appreciate you coming on so much.
I appreciate you so much. I fucking love watching you. I'm always watching, so.
I appreciate that. So much. That's amazing. I'm going to tell my girlfriend to watch this one.
Yeah, yeah. I fuck with your girlfriend. She's the shit.
That's
fire. She's sexy ass.
Appreciate
Middle
that.
Eastern woman. We on. What's up?
Her Instagram's on the screen. Make sure everybody, you go follow. It's nice meeting you.
So nice meeting you. You're fucking epic.
Thank
you. He's even better in person. It's lit.
Wow.
He's not one of those. He's not one of those that's whack in person, though. He's dope.
Aww. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. We got the No Jumper Kush. Go to your local dispensary. Tell them you need it. Appreciate y'all.